540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Photographers have staked out spots outside the courthouse in New York, waiting for Donald Trump to arrive for day one of his civil trial in a case brought by the state attorney general, who'd like to put the former president out of business. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
An appellate court had already ruled that some of the claims against President Trump expired under the statute of limitations, yet the trial judge is still including them as part of the case against Trump. The president's lawyers will demand to know why. There are other unresolved issues. For instance, given that Trump never defaulted on these loans and the banks were repaid and in fact made money, who is being harmed here?
The Supreme Court is fresh back from summer recess to begin a new term today. Correspondent Jan Crawford from Washington.
On the Second Amendment right to bear arms, the court will consider what that means for people under restraining orders for domestic violence. On voting rights, they will consider a case where black challengers say South Carolina Republicans drew legislative districts based on race.
In Hollywood, striking actors return to the bargaining table for the first time since their walkout began in July. Negotiations come less than a week after writers ended their five-month-old walkout against studios and streamers. Union leaders hailed the WGA agreement for including pay raises, staff size, and restrictions on use of AI. Late-night talk shows return to the air tonight. Have an outstanding student loan? Time to dig deep again. Payments have just resumed for millions of Americans after a three-year pandemic pause. Financial counselor Kim Miller.
They were using the money that was going to student loans for food and transportation and housing. And so now they have to squish that back into their budget.
The Supreme Court struck down President Biden's plan to cancel up to $20,000 in debt for lots of borrowers. New concerns about hundreds of thousands of SUVs. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Federal highway safety officials are expanding their investigation into 708,000 Ford Sport utility vehicles over engine failures linked to a faulty valve. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says under normal driving conditions, the vehicles without warning may experience a loss of power.
Yet another reason breast is generally best for babies. New research says it helps prevent childhood obesity. CBS's Michael George.
Research presented for the European Association for the Study of Diabetes shows that babies breastfed for at least 6 months had a lower percentage of body fat at age 9 compared to children who weren't breastfed.
S&P futures are down 11. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A 73-year-old driver struck a 9-year-old child on a bicycle in West Dallas yesterday afternoon. The child sustained a head injury and other significant injuries while attempting to cross 84th Street. The driver was arrested on suspicion of operating a vehicle while intoxicated, and residents in the area expressed concerns about safety at that intersection. West Dallas police are currently investigating the incident. Playoff baseball starts tomorrow in Milwaukee. On Thursday, the playoff site will be discussed in Madison. Wisconsin lawmakers are advancing a proposal to allocate $600 million for renovations and maintenance at the Brewer Stadium. The plan involves the state contributing $400 million while Milwaukee and Milwaukee County putting forward $200 million. The ball club itself would provide $100 million. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin. You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out of touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station. station and on the app. Under the helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and three TDs against the JV team.
Oh, my and, God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in his face. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams is in the studio. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. I've recovered from our bout with being the radio broadcasters for a high school football game.
Yeah.
That was... That was the blind leading the blind.
And we both fell in the ditch. So to Johnny Watermelon and to Don Brown, your positions are safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. But I will tell you, it was
No, it kind of whetted, nice. It whetted my appetite. I think if we'd known who the players were and all the numbers and the, but there was a, there was a shortage of stuff that we had in our brain to talk about. So.
Well, and because to understand, but Sandy, I have to tell you, the night was impeccable. The night was perfect for football.
Yeah.
The setting was perfect for football.
Yeah.
The view that we had, the spectators, I mean, it's beautiful.
Took me back to high school.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, know? Man, it was absolutely wonderful. But let's get down to business, man. So, Sandy, you predicted, you know, going back several months ago, I remember you saying they've just played this game with the debt ceiling.
Theater.
They're going to get it done.
Yeah.
And you're the one guy, all the other prognosticators and others, with all the stuff I watched, they all had given up and said it's not going to get
well
done.
You know what I think? This is cynical. I think that all those prognosticators have a vested interest in maintaining the suspense, talking about it as if it's going to happen, because that's the news. That's the news spin. If what you said was, hey, this is all just nonsense, and it's gonna and they're gonna solve it at the 11th hour, they'll pull something out of their derriere to get it done because that's what has to happen. If that's what they said all along, all the tension would be gone, all the newsworthiness of it would be gone. So I think all the news prognosticators are kind of forced to play the game. And the people playing the game know that, right? They know that if we talk like this, they'll broadcast it as if it's a big problem. And that's what happened.
But when you talk about stopgap measures,
yeah,
it's kicking the can down the road.
Oh yeah, these guys are kicking the can down the road. That's what politicians today do. They don't solve problems; they just put band-aids on problems. We can look at it from a broad standpoint. You know, student debt. We don't solve the problem that's causing students to go into debt. We just try to figure out what to do with student debt. You know, healthcare. When COVID comes up, we put band-aids onto our healthcare system so it works when we're faced with a real problem. But do we fix the healthcare system? Nope. Kick the can down the road. So this is just another episode of the people in Congress kicking the can down the road. And, you know, I have to say the Speaker, so, you know, people do the right thing ultimately, most of them. I mean, if Matt Gaetz had been Speaker, I would have said something different about whether I thought this thing would get solved. But McCarthy struck me as being, at least at some level, a responsible person. And I think he's going to go the way of Paul Ryan. Well, you know, people who are speakers trying to ride this rodeo bull, which is the Republican caucus, finally get really sore, you know, and they jump on.
Well, he was forced to do the right thing, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he went. Yeah, he did. Can you imagine what he did? He did a bipartisan vote.
I know.
I mean, he should, talk he about should, capital offenses.
He should be last, right?
Well, he will be last.
Yeah, because Matt Gaetz is saying we gotta do away with them. In the end, I think Matt Gaetz is going to be the guy.
Well, if Matt Gaetz is the Speaker, then we've got a problem. Then we have a problem, because I don't think this person has demonstrated ever that the public interest was at all interesting to him.
So let me ask you, Sandy. So here we are, and McCarthy has, you know, he's kind of catered to these people for a while.
Well, his speakership was rested upon their approval of him because of the size of the caucus and the size of their vote. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the fact is that one way that McCarthy can continue to be Speaker is if some Democrats vote for him.
Well, the Democrats, it appears they're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, they'll have to decide whether they're willing to help him maintain his speakership. And my bet is that was part of the deal.
Well, they know who he is.
Right.
Well, whatever else they're going to, they're caught between we vote for the devil that we see or the devil that we don't see.
Right.
And the devil that they see is McCarthy, and they now realize, hey, when push comes to shove, the guy has to do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, this could be the path to bipartisan activity in the House of Representatives, because if he becomes essentially a bipartisan speaker, and if that's the premise upon which his speakership rests, then we can expect that a whole bunch of hardline Republicans will abandon him and a bunch of Democrats will have to support him. And things will only get done in the House of Representatives with bipartisan votes, which would be an amazing shift from the last 20 years.
So because in the Senate, clearly Mitch McConnell, say whatever it is you want to say when decisions have to be made with bipartisan support, Mitch McConnell has done that.
Yeah, I mean it's been the exception that proves the rule. But yes, Mitch McConnell has participated in bipartisan negotiations and has reached and they have been bipartisan votes in the U.S. Senate on occasion. They almost seem like mistakes.
and so if McCarthy now has shown that you know, he has made an independent decision. Well, not really independent, but the fact that even though he was being pushed and threatened, you know, Gaetz is clearly saying we're going after him now, but we're going to find out that Gaetz really doesn't have leverage.
Well, he doesn't have that many votes.
It only takes five, right?
Yeah, and the vote that passed this thing was overwhelming, you know, so there were a very limited number of people who stuck by the Matt Gaetz. I think it was 31 or some number of Republicans like that voted against it. Otherwise, it was overwhelmingly approved.
So let me ask you, Sandy, what does it say? Is there a chink in the armor now with Republicans who are now, they're at this point where they're battling inside for control and power inside the Republican Party? They got to settle that at some point. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think so. I think the sway of this hyper-conservative group who have demonstrated over the last months and time since they essentially formed this rump caucus that they aren't interested in policy. They're only interested in headlines, and all of their Republican brethren are saying the same things about them. Now the Speaker is saying the same things about them. You know, I think that their cynicism is matched, I suspect, on the MAGA Republican side, but you know, Trump is more popular than MAGA Republicanism is. Trump is a cult, is essentially a cult figure, and the MAGA Republican problem is that they have no policies they stand for other than being this is a big word, iconoclasts, people who just are disruptive, try to cause problems.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll put it to you this way. The vote almost didn't happen this past weekend because, I don't know if you read about this, but Jamal Bowman, senator or Congress, he pulled the fire alarm and, you know, they had to evacuate the whole building right before the vote. Ultimately, he did vote for the bill to temporarily keep it out there for 45 days. But I think there needs to be some consequences with that. I'm just curious to see what Sandy thinks. But
you mean pulling the fire alarm? You mean by pulling the fire alarm?
Well, pulling the fire alarm in that circumstance isn't altogether different than the January 6th insertion of essentially insurrection type rioting to try and stop a vote, right? So this was, I suspect you're right. I suspect that unfortunately the rules of Congress are such that it's almost like a place that regulates itself, but certainly the guy deserves to be censored, number one. And number two, I suspect that there is probably a potential claim against him.
David?
Yeah, I was curious to get your point on that, Sandy. But in regards with the actual, you know, going forward, this is what's tricky. I mean, obviously, you know, we do have, obviously, we're tremendously in debt. There's no question about that. And we also have to understand the fact that we can't spend our way to prosperity, but there has to be some ideal of where, you know, maybe like when Bill Clinton was president, where you had some cuts and you had some revenue and what have you, because at the end of the day, I think we're spending, what, $2 billion a day just to pay the interest now. It's an astounding number. And we're spending $800 million a day, $800 million a minute or something. It's just astronomical numbers.
So, Dave.
And
go ahead quickly.
Yes.
I hear what you're saying about needing to get a handle on spending, or at least getting a handle on deficits, because deficits are a combination of spending and revenue, and we have to get a handle on both.
I think we all agree with that.
Well, I think so. And I think the problem is that we need a responsible discussion about it that doesn't just take a sickle to and cut everything across the board. That's the simplistic way, which is most harmful to programs that are actually important, right? And I think the problem we have in America is we aren't able to reach consensus about what is important. And to be honest with you, we'll jump to another time, but part of the spending issue does relate to Ukraine and the fact that they froze expenditures on to Ukraine. Now, real politic, this thing that I've talked about over the last couple of years that was Henry Kissinger's game, is basically a hard analysis of what it is that's truly important to America. And it's the things that are truly important to America that we decide to stake ourselves, set a stake down and put ourselves into it 100%. And the problem with Ukraine was that we backed into it like backing into a cactus. We let Victoria Nuland and the CIA and the undersecretaries of the State Department sort of back us into a position with Ukraine.
We got to go to a break. Thank you, David. All of you on the phone lines, we'll come to you after the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company and seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with highs around 86. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, lows level off around 59, 86 tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 78 Wednesday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers, 71 on Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. Hey.
Just popped back in my mind. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. And Sandy, you were saying before...
Well, I was talking about the duality of the problem that is persistent, apparently, in Washington and in our politics, is that we fail to think about the end game. We fail to do a prioritization of what is truly important, and we tend to be reactive. So we're reactive to the fact that we have big deficits, but we aren't proactive about figuring out how we ought to spend money and who we ought to tax and what are the important things to our, what are the important investments we need to make. In our foreign policy, we back into things like we back into cactuses without looking over our shoulder. And so we have backed into this notion that Ukraine was of vital importance to us, but apparently without having the kind of debate that would solidify the base in the United States of people who would believe it was actually important. And like I've been saying this since the war began, the problem with Ukraine is that it was never a fundamentally strategic of strategic importance to the United States. Disregard the arguments about we have to defend democracy everywhere, because we don't do that, and we never have. We pick and choose where it is we defend democracy, and presumably we defend democracy where it is strategically important to the United States in a fundamental way. We didn't defend it in Georgia, the country of Georgia. We didn't defend it in a variety of in Chechnya, their own sovereignty. So, you know, that's a problem. And now we're going to find out it's a problem, because we're in the process of having debates about whether we continue to fund Ukraine. And we've strung Ukraine along to the point where they're beyond the point of no return in Ukraine. They can't negotiate themselves away from losing hundreds of thousands of people in war. They've already lost hundreds of thousands of people.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I know I tend to only get a few seconds with you.
That's what anybody gets, CJ. Okay. Are you demanding that you should get more?
No, I've heard people from LA call 3 or 4 times a day.
Well, CJ,
okay.
CJ, let me just remind you, CJ, you did call us twice last Friday. We talked to you twice, and when I had the show, also I talked to you twice.
There have been times that you've gotten 3 times. Go ahead.
Let me explain to you. Okay, I'm going to explain to you why Republicans care, and they
care about what?
Care about
McCarthy.
Care about what?
About spending. About spending. And this is a political ploy by the Democrat Party to keep this an issue. They don't want to deal with this. They love it, but Gates. They made an agreement back during the debt ceiling that each appropriation bill would be put through one at a time and actually debated on the floor and not as one lump sum. That's the argument between Gates and McCarthy. They passed 70% of our debt, of our government cost, already through 4 appropriation bills, and have sent it on to the Senate. What the Republicans had asked for was the last 30% was to have an 8% cut because they wanted to go back to the pre-COVID spending amounts. Democrat Party wants to keep the high spending of COVID and continue that spending. And that's where inflation has come from, and a $2.7 trillion deficit just this year. And so they're spending us into oblivion. And the mere fact that we're going to spend how much next year on our debt? Basically 10%. And then the following year, it goes to 21%.
Let's slow down, CJ. I mean, this is turned into a soliloquy. Yes, Earl and I spent the beginning of this show talking about the fact that we thought we needed to have a responsible approach to deficits, that Washington needs to get a responsible approach to deficits. Republicans need to get a responsible approach to deficits. They've run more in the way of deficits during the tenure of Republican presidents than Democrats have run during theirs. So this is a bipartisan problem, and you want to make it a partisan problem. And that's the problem, okay? Well, as long as it's a partisan problem, we can't get from here to there. But we can get from here to there if we were willing to talk about not deficits. That's just a subject that has no substance. We need to talk about programs and expenditures. Which ones do we cut? Which taxes do we increase? And how do we solve the problem? Otherwise, all we're doing is sitting at the table listening to our father shout at us about how we're spending too much. Okay, and we need to figure out the end game there.
All right, listen, we got to go to the break. We'll come back and get you guys on the other side. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
Informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump is expected at a courthouse in New York any moment now, with a new civil trial about to begin, questioning his business practices. CBS's Robert Costa is in Lower Manhattan.
In this case, the judge has allotted 3 months for this trial, and so far, it's done little to rupture Trump's standing in the Republican presidential race.
The Supreme Court plans to tackle some difficult issues in a new session beginning today. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
There are cases regarding medication abortion. argument that may be decided by the Supreme Court, as well as congressional redistricting plans from South Carolina, where there's an allegation that there's been racial gerrymandering.
After a three-year pandemic pause, millions of Americans, including Lucero Cabral, who attends college in Texas, will have to resume paying student loans.
It just really sucks that they promise the public something that they can't deliver on.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Union Pacific officials have not disclosed the cause of a train separation incident in Sussex Saturday morning. It resulted in several cars remaining stranded on the tracks and traffic backups for miles. There were no reported injuries, but it took about 2 hours to resolve the situation. Union Pacific is expressing apologies for the inconvenience and is currently investigating the incident to determine its cause. The man who was shot and killed by four West Allis officers last week shouldn't have been at that house. A restraining order prohibited 36-year-old Justin Gonzalez from being at the residence. Court records show several domestic violence-related calls recently. Gonzalez reportedly came at cops with two knives and was shot several times. The officers involved are now on administrative leave. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
To the 1960s.
We're not dancing, but it's close.
Welcome back to, and even Calvin's kind of nodding his head.
Yeah, yeah, and that music was good.
1964, Calvin. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A., good morning to you, Tom.
Yeah, good morning, Earl. I guess I must be the L.A. guy that apparently gets more time than anybody else, which is ridiculous. CJ, you're a crybaby victim, just like you Republicans are.
Let's stick with substance here.
No, No, Sandy. If he's going to call,
we don't have enough time for that, Tom.
Wait, our segments are so short. We don't want to waste.
Today
them.
Is a, yeah. So, Tom. So, your thoughts, man.
I want to clear the record because Dave is telling again a lie. He said about this fire alarm thing. Congressman Jamal Bowman said, I want to personally clear up a confusing surrounding today's event. Today, as I was rushing to make a vote, I came to a door that is usually open for votes, but today would not open. I am embarrassed to admit that I activated the fire alarm, mistakenly thinking it would open the door. I regret this and sincerely apologize for any confusion this caused. See, Democrats actually take responsibility for things when they make errors. And the last thing is, everybody out there in radio land, go ahead and Google Jude Wininsky, To Santa Claus Theory, Common Dreams, because you'll find out exactly what the Republicans are doing. When they're in power, they run the debt up so high and so fast. And then when the Democrats get in power, all they do is scream about the debt. Boy, oh boy, CJ and Dave and all you guys, Ken, are playing that game so well. You're a bunch of phonies. You're a bunch of fakes. And you know what? You guys don't understand that when I call in, I'm calling in to try to look for solutions. When you try to call in, you call in just to get political points.
Hey, Tom. Thank you very much for the call, man. Really appreciate it.
Well, I think what the time has hit the nail on the head with respect to Alberta talking about substance, right?
Right.
You know, to talk about deficits is to arm wave and to avoid issues. It's to kick the can down the road instead of talking about programs and revenue sources. Those are the things that lead to deficits or not. And it's programs that are the investments in America that we need to be making. And to talk about deficits and then to turn around and say, well, we've got to cut all our programs, but don't touch defense and don't touch, you know, means that what we're going to do is just stop investing in America's future, in the American people. Yeah. And so that's the serious problem. And that's this problem of Washington not getting serious about substance. And just talking about stuff.
So Sandy, there is clearly this divide in the Republican Party that is going to have to be addressed. And what
Kevin
McCarthy did is he's kind of brokering some kind of partnership with the Democratic Party, right?
Well, I think that is it, although that might turn out to be an untenable way to be a speaker, because, you know, this is the third Republican speaker to get on the rocky shoals, and, you know, we had Paul Ryan. He quit. Yeah. I mean, he resigned, right? He didn't get voted out. He just said, I've had enough. Then John Boehner comes in, and what does John Boehner do? John Boehner throws up his hands and says, you know what, I'm done too. This is dysfunctional. This doesn't work. And both of them, when they got out, began to speak truth to power, and they began to talk about all of the dysfunction in Washington and all of the dysfunction on their side of the aisle. And I think Kevin McCarthy's already gotten there while he's sitting in the position. So this the American people have to wake up and look at this and stop being willing to countenance the theater of it all. And to require the politicians to talk about actual substance, not deficits. No, let's talk about the programs and revenue sources that relate to our budget.
You know, Sandy, this continued debate and battle for the soul of the Republican Party, there's only a handful of people on the one side that have been given a lot of power, and they're only a handful of people.
Well, because of the way we're set up as a two-party system, we have a Congress that's two parties. And so a small group of people, and very rarely is the majority in Congress very large. So we have a majority in Congress, what, eight?
Yeah.
And so five people in the Republican caucus, to the extent that they aren't really voting on bills in a bipartisan manner. If all the Democrats are going to vote no, All you need is five Republicans to say no as well, and whatever it is that's the Republican caucus proposal is not going to pass. And so you have a small number of people who have a great deal of leverage in a polarized circumstance, okay? And if we could depolarize that circumstance, we could defang the power of these minuscule minorities who are trying to crack the whip. It's the, you know, it's the end of the cat's tail wagging the tail here. And so maybe what's happening here, to the extent that Kevin McCarthy decided to stay on as speaker, in spite of the fact that he might need some Democratic votes to maintain his speakership, which would create a bipartisan speaker and the potential for bipartisan things passing. Okay. If that happens, that would be an immense political breakthrough.
You know, Sandy, Democrats have to make a decision on whether or not we want Matt Gaetz or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or whoever it is they want to pick as the speaker, or you know, McCarthy. And, you know, the devil you see is, you know, better than the devil you don't know. And so,
well, I'm afraid in this case, they know those other devils, they know the devil they see is better than.
Yeah. And so that's why they want to kind of they're going to have to make a tough decision. But the tough decision is we may have to hold our nose when it comes to McCarthy, because we do know who he is. But we've seen that when push comes to shove, he's been able to make the right call. And this was the right call. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, maintaining an orderly government is the right call. Chaos, wanting chaos and nihilism is not the right call. And unfortunately, we have people in political places of power, whether it's kind of self-anointed power with this Freedom Coalition or whatever they call themselves, the small gang has a great deal of power unless Washington and Congress, through the actions of Democrats and Republicans, take it away from them. And that's what happened over the weekend.
All right, David, go ahead, David.
Thanks for taking my call again. Really quickly, I just want to point out a couple things. One thing that's very frustrating for me is the fact that the amount of money that we're paying to big corporations, bailing them out. I consider the bailout for the car companies right now, just because they're getting hundreds of billions of dollars to make electric cars where they're losing their rear ends on them. And Ford being one of them, GM being another. And consequently, you know, the U.S. government is at fault by enabling this behavior to keep on going. Banks, healthcare, you look at the, you know, with
so Dave, let me cut you off for a second. And if you just said that we're giving this money to corporations.
Well, actually it's being given only indirectly to corporations. There are subsidies being given to automobile purchasers, which in turn makes the car cheaper so that they might be more apt to buy them. So in that manner, money is flowing. The money is flowing actually to the purchaser and not to the manufacturers directly.
So Sandy, that seems to be okay, but when you talk about again helping with daycare, we can't do that, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the point.
The point, whether you agree with the policy or not, the point of the subsidy for the electric cars is to try and convert America in a greener direction, presuming that electric cars are greener than combustion engine cars. And so they're providing this subsidy in that indirect manner. But that's an investment in the future about something. And same with child daycare. Unfortunately, we aren't willing to talk, unlike Europe, which views education as a community investment in the community. They don't view that as an investment in the individuals. It's the community value of educated individuals that they're investing in. We don't look at things that way here. So we aren't willing to invest in the youth of America with child daycare and preschool education and focus on education and college programs that are and post high school programs that are affordable as investments.
So let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what, sir?
Good morning. You were talking about McCarthy and the Republicans and Democrats trying to reach leadership. I'm going to disagree a little bit with you, though I realize it's an open question. McCarthy has shown us really that he's ready to get in bed with Boebert and Gates and any of them anytime it benefits him to do it. So putting him in, I think, is a lose again. If the Democrats
He's already in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're going to get rid of him and there's going to be someone else, and he's asking for Democrats, you're suggesting Democrats should vote with Republicans to keep him in office.
Because we don't know what else is coming.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think, as I look at it, I don't think the Republican majority would elect a Boebert or a Gates. You know, I think they might elect somebody I don't like. But I know that Kevin McCarthy will go all the way. Is not really a compromiser. He's going to go as far as he possibly can with these other folks who the crazies. And there may be another person that could be elected, which would be better than McCarthy in terms of bringing about some kind of bipartisanship.
Are you willing to take that risk?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of raising the question. I mean, do you really think that the majority of Republicans would elect a Boebert or a Gates? You know, I'm thinking they probably won't.
Well,
so
yeah.
We end up someone who's less objectionable that is better than McCarthy.
Sandy?
Well, it could be. I don't know the dynamics of that caucus. All I know is that McCarthy was the result of a process that resulted in McCarthy in that caucus, and everyone knew what they were dealing with, including Boebert and Green and the others, Getz. So I can't speculate. I can say that you're right. Over this past period, McCarthy has done a lot to placate that group of people, including the way he got his speakership in the first place, which was to allow any member of Congress to bring on a motion to vacate that would then have to be honored. But I don't know. He did the right thing over the weekend. That's all I can say.
Yeah, Sandy, that's it. He did the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you can go by for now. I understand. I can speak for myself, Sandy, as well as myself. We're not here saying, that Kevin McCarthy is the right guy. Look how long it took for him to even get the speakership and what he had to walk through fire. Actually, he had to walk through hell with a gasoline jacket on to even get the position.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he knew what the outcome of that was, but he wanted the position. And, I'm not singing the praises of McCarthy, but in this instance, he did the right thing.
Well, that's right. And so, I suspect that he'll be rewarded for it in some fashion.
All right, got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 86. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 59 tonight, 86 tomorrow, partly cloudy. Upper 70s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Chance for scattered rain showers on Thursday, highs in the low 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Who are these guys again?
Who are they?
Is this the monkey? Is this the monkeys?
No, that's the
Dave Clark Five.
Oh, the Dave Clark Five. Well, they sound like them.
Yeah, there's a guy who knows a little something about the Dave Clark Five. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2780. That's 1964.
Yeah, I just every song was 64. Yeah. You must have been in 64.
Yeah. let's do this, CJ, quickly. CJ, quickly,
60 seconds.
Thank you for taking my call again. The Republicans are trying to address the spending issue and being responsible about it. Sandy talks about
which programs, which programs
prioritize.
Yeah, which programs do they want to cut?
Prioritize. What's that?
Which programs do they want to cut and which revenue sources do they want to increase? I haven't heard any talk about that. All I've heard to talk about is the size of the deficit and an amnesia about the size of the deficits that they themselves created. But, I think what we need is just a responsible approach. I just haven't seen one yet.
You guys, Sandy, they offered up 8% across the board.
Well, that's not a response. Incidentally, an across the board cut is not a responsible approach. That isn't responsible. That's kicking the can down the road. That's taking an easy way out. That's not picking and choosing. That's like Dad saying that I'm going to cut everything 8%, including, you know, your clothing allowance, including your food allowance, including, you know, that isn't the way anyone operates if they intend to be a successful operation.
Cut my mic all the time. Can I ask you a question, Sandy? What programs do you want to cut?
All right.
Running a deficit of $2.7 trillion.
Okay, listen, CJ, you've already said all this, okay? And we had you on for a second call. And if you want to have a responsible conversation about programs, I'm happy, ready, willing, and able to have a conversation about cutting programs and expanding programs and raising taxes in certain places. So yeah, there's a responsible conversation to be had. But it isn't had by talking about deficits and trying to point a partisan finger, because that finger points back at oneself, no matter who's pointing.
You know, Sandy, at some point in time, and that has to be soon, all of this does have to be addressed. Again, 45 more days from now, what's going to happen, Sandy? Between now and 45 days, is there going to be a come to Jesus moment, or are we going to be right back where we were? And you know, the odds are we're going to be right back where we were. We're going to be having the same conversation.
Well, if history is a lesson, that's the lesson we've learned from history, is that the can gets kicked down the road. And in the meantime, nothing happens that's responsible. And so, you know, is 45 days enough time to have a responsible conversation about a budget, an overall budget? You know, CJ is right that portions of the budget already were passed. And that doesn't demonstrate responsibility. That just demonstrates an unwillingness to debate things that might be sensitive to debate. And, you know, the way we're handling Ukraine, freezing Ukraine, that's not the way to handle that either. What should have happened in a responsible Washington is that we should have had an extensive debate and conversation about Ukraine at the opening, okay? So at the time when you're starting something is when you ought to be figuring out the end game. How important is it? And we didn't do that. And because we didn't do that, it was almost inevitable that we would get to the point that where we are approaching now, which is to potentially pull the plug at a time when it is most damaging. It's like leaving Iraq in a vacuum, like leaving Vietnam, like, you know, all the things that we've done with our militant foreign policy, which has been to leave things worse than we found them.
So, Sandy, right now, people may not know it, but they're on the precipice of not funding Ukraine.
Well, yeah, that's right. The bill that passed did included no funding for Ukraine, leaving open the debate on Ukraine, which leaves open now uncertainty amongst the Western allies who are supporting Ukraine, as well as Russia, being able to watch this and understand that the dynamics of our politics is a game that they can play in as well. And they understood that, obviously, all the way back to 2016. They've been playing the American political game for quite a while.
So, Sandy, they also know that it could be only a matter of time that with out the support of the United States, the war is over.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think that the problem, and Henry Kissinger is absolutely right with the concept of realpolitik. It has to really matter to us. We have to have decided in a formal sense that it really matters to us before we set a stake down that is essentially irreversible in the way of, for instance, military action. And we haven't done that for decades in our foreign policies.
You know, we can say, well, Democrat or Republican, the bottom line is we've led these people on, right?
Yeah.
We've led these people, and if they don't get this financial support, it's clear to say we've led them to slaughter, right?
Right. I mean, you know, they were in a position where they were being asked to negotiate with Russia. Now, it might not have been with bilateral equal power, okay? But that's the way hegemonies work. When we negotiate with Mexico, it's not bilateral equal power. When we negotiate with almost any country that we negotiate with, it's not bilateral equal power. And in our hemisphere, we, since the Monroe Doctrine, we have essentially announced the hegemony of the Western Hemisphere to the United States.
You know, not enough time. Sandy, we'll have to, you know, pick up where we left off on Friday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you to the listening audience. We couldn't do it without you. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 85 degrees. You better get out and enjoy it. See you later. You know, Sandy.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.